Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at
how to listen with intention, the foundations of true connection, communication, and relationships, how to be more likable and charismatic, Book 7, written by Patrick King, narrated by Russell Newton.
Chapter 1. One mouth, but two ears. Picture someone visiting a new therapist or counselor and the dialogue they have in their first session. The client is quite naturally feeling a little nervous and exposed and is trying to find their feet. This is the first time they've done anything like this, and they're not quite sure about how it all works. Are they going to lie down on a couch and be asked about their attraction to their mother or father? Will they uncover something traumatic from their past that they've blocked out? They come into the room and the therapist invites them to sit. The client sits and eventually the therapist invites them to talk, saying, "So, what brought you here today?" "Well, it's hard to say, actually," says the client, who starts describing how they want to use therapy as a place to learn to be better and not necessarily to fix anything that's wrong. "So, it seems like you're not quite sure about what you want here," says the therapist. The client starts to wonder if they're wasting this professional's time. "No, not exactly. It's just, I'm sorry. I don't know how this goes. I suppose you see a lot of people every day with real problems." "You don't think that your problems are real then?" "That's not what I meant. It's not that I have problems. It's more like, I just want to be the best version of myself, you know?" "It's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Seeking help for your problems doesn't mean you're weak, you know." The rest of the session carries on, but the client has already decided in the first 2 minutes never to return to therapy again. Why? For those who are skilled listeners, the reason is probably obvious. The therapist did a really bad job of listening. Did you catch it? Let's review. Firstly, the therapist tells the client what they feel without checking whether their interpretation is correct or even why. Chapter 2, Styles, Frames, and Levels. Picture a scene that may feel all too familiar to some couples. Person X has had a bad experience and is upset, and is now telling Person Y about what happened. Person Y is listening, truly listening, and yet the conversation isn't going well and eventually ends poorly. X: "I had such an awful time at work today. Oh, I hate my job." Y: "Oh? I thought you liked it there. What's the problem?" X: "I don't know. I just sometimes feel like I never get a break, like I'm rushed off my feet the second I walk in the door." Y: "Really? I'm sure you said you were enjoying the work last week." X: "Well, yeah, I mean, of course I enjoy it sometimes. I feel so unappreciated, you know?" Y: "Uh-huh. Maybe you should ask for a raise." X: "No, it's not that. Today, Z didn't even bother to thank me for basically bailing him out of an emergency. And I felt so..." Y: "Have you told Z? Anyway, you're Z's superior, so..." X: "I know that. Does that mean I just have to carry everyone's slack forever?" Y: "So, you didn't tell Z how you feel?" X: "You're not listening. It's not about Z." Y: "Yeesh, then what is it about? I keep asking, but you're not telling me anything." X: "Ugh, just forget it." "What's gone wrong here?" Y may genuinely be interested in continuing the conversation, wanting to help and doing all the things we've discussed as good conversational technique, but Y still... 3. The tough work of hearing someone. Two people in a coffee shop, catching up after a long time not chatting and discussing this and that. Ted: "I've tried to talk to him so many times about it, but I have to say, he doesn't really seem to get it, you know?" Kristen: "Well, what do you mean? What doesn't he get?" Ted: "It's like, I heard someone say once that a woman becomes a mother the moment she knows she's pregnant. But a man only becomes a dad once the baby is born. I feel like that. Like, maybe he's not caught up yet.
Kristen.
Like, he's not on the same page as you.
Ted.
Exactly. And I feel it's all still just abstract for him. Like, it hasn't really sunk in yet. I mean, I sympathize, but I don't know.
Kristen.
Oh, I hear you. Seems like you sympathize, but there's also something else.
Ted.
There is. I guess I'm a bit disappointed. Maybe I'm just scared that I'm actually going to be doing this all by myself. And that's not what we agreed to. That's not what I thought we were doing. We're a team.
Kristen.
You thought you guys were kind of in this together.
Ted.
Yes, but when I talk to him, it doesn't feel like that. Like, he's kind of making it like I'm pregnant, and he's just kind of a spectator. I mean, I don't want to speak badly about him.
Kristen.
Of course not. It seems like this is not an easy thing to talk about.
Ted.
Well, what could I say? I think deep down I'm just... He can leave at this point, you know? And I'm the one that's really doing this. Does that make sense?
Kristen.
Oh, completely. Do you think it's that you're worried about him leaving?
And so on. In the above conversation, both people are...
Chapter 4. I see you. I hear you.
Going deeper than conversation styles, specific words you say, and so on, we arrive at perhaps the deepest function of any communication: to be seen, heard, understood, and acknowledged by another person, and to do the same for them. Listening without judgment, without trying to fix anything or change how another person feels, and without rushing in with your own feelings on the matter, all this comes from having empathy. True empathy diffuses conflict and encourages deeper intimacy. So-called nonviolent communication is based on the principle of seeking to understand a person's emotional reality rather than deny it, change it, judge it, praise it, explain it away, or take responsibility for it. As amazing as this sounds, it does take practice, however. Consider the following conversation. Unnecessary input.
I miss her so much. I know I'm supposed to be over it already, but I guess when she passed, I sort of just went on hold somehow, and I only feel like I'm processing things now.
Sounds like you're having a hard time.
Yeah, I don't know. Some days it's okay, but to be honest, I'm not really coping with this.
I remember when my mom died, I was a mess for a year. But looking back, it was kind of a good thing, too, in some ways, you know?
A good thing?
I just learned so much about myself going through all that.
I guess.
You should come to kickboxing with me. I found it really helps to do something physical, get the blood pumping again.
Maybe. I kind of feel like moping for a while, to be honest.
Hey, chin up. I know how you feel.
Chapter 5. Read and Analyze. Listening is really an exercise in reading people, isn't it? You're taking in information and then making as accurate an assessment as you can. There are ways to be a little more direct about this. In reality, deep listening is a subset of the skill of evaluating others. However, the common theme still remains of removing your own biases, desires, and goals from the equation. If you can't achieve this first goal, you'll set yourself up for interpersonal failure. The first way that we can generally read and analyze people better is through emotional intelligence. Emotional genius. The best modern conception of emotional intelligence comes from psychologist Daniel Goleman. Emotional intelligence is knowing and perceiving the emotions you feel and why you feel them, then transferring that type of awareness onto others. You're able to put a label on your emotional state and find its cause and effect. By extension, emotional intelligence is being able to read other people's emotions accurately and deduce the reasons for them. When you start thinking, "Why did she do that?" and "What made him do that?" instead of immediately reacting, that's the beginning of your path to emotional intelligence. It's a matter of understanding the whole causal chain of other people's motivations and intentions
and how that leads to their emotions, which lead to their behaviors. High emotional intelligence is like being able to read someone's mind. In reality, this everyday superpower is not so complex and requires resisting powerful aspects of human nature that behoove us to focus only on ourselves. Take Charlotte. Charlotte prances into the office, her steps lilting and a smile. This has been How to Listen with Intention, the Foundation of True Connection, Communication, and Relationships. How to Be More Likable and Charismatic, Book 7. Written by Patrick King, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2020 by Patrick King. Production copyright by Patrick King.
More information regarding today's book and the author can be found at audible.com or amazon.com. Show notes and further information can be found at russelericnewton.com. With an eclectic collection of insights, knowledge, and trivia from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Over Work podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.